This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. Today we are talking with Knox Eamon of Center Bi in D.C.
Welcome. Thank you. And actually, it's Inman, Knox Eamon.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. I think I said that wrong, and yeah. I apologize.
No worries. It doesn't bother me. It's my whole name's Kenner Knox Eamon. I go by Knox, and Kenner gets mispronounced all the time, so I usually don't even bring Kenner up. I just go, it's Knox, go by Knox.
You know, Lynette, at first it sounded like Doc Inman.
Well, yeah.
Doc
Inman?
Doc, man, that'd be cool, man.
Sometimes do call me Doc. Being a veterinarian, I go in, you know, sometimes some of the clients, hey, Doc, you know.
There you go.
I was going to say, you're a veterinarian, so you are a doctor, so
Yeah, I am.
How do you find time to do anything else but that?
Yeah, I know. Well, I started I used to work as medical director at a place, and it was very long hours. Now I do my one-person relief doctor business, which is I work in different clinics when they need someone temporarily, like someone's on vacation or sick or a meeting or something like that. So I'll work in hospitals. It gives me a little more flexible schedule, and you go into veterinary medicine because you want to, not to get rich. If you want to be rich, be an MD. But,
yeah, exactly.
But per hour, I do make more per hour doing relief work than I did as medical director. So these days I give myself a little more free time, honestly, on purpose, especially since I can do the pick and choose the jobs I want to take. So, you know, gives me a little more time to do other things.
Well, that's great. You know, and you're not the first veterinarian who said that about if you want to make money, be an MD.
Oh, yeah. It's you go into it because, I mean, it's ironic because we do multiple species and, and we have specialists. I mean, there are some surgeries I don't do, like bone surgeries, plates. I've never trained for it. So if an animal needs a plate put on, I'll refer it. But most surgeries I'll do myself, whereas MDs, a general practitioner doesn't do surgeries. I mean, that's
yes, exactly.
They always refer. So
always, yeah.
Veterinarians do more variety, but you know, you make a good living, but you don't make what the MDs make, but you get to do more. So
well, I'm always kind of amazed because you know, if you're an MD, you have one species to deal with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're a veterinarian, you have to know a lot about all kinds of different
Different species.
You know, things. I wanted to be a veterinarian when I was about 13, but that didn't work out. So.
Well, one thing that gets a lot of people, they love animals, is the euthanasia part. Dealing with telling someone their animal has cancer or it's terminal, things like that. I mean, that's so it's and you go from one extreme to another. I mean, I'll have days where I go from a euthanasia and everyone's crying, and I see grown men cry who never cry.
Yeah.
And then next appointment I'll run into is a family with their new puppy, and they're all excited and happy. So I go from one extreme to another sometimes, which is, yeah, interesting.
That's pretty difficult sometimes, but I'm sure it's really rewarding.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get to why we're here today. We're talking about building local community. And I don't know how else to explain this, but you facilitate the Center Bi in Washington, D.C. Yep. Can you give me a little bit of history about how that happened?
Yeah. D.C. Center is the LGBT community center for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And they've got different communities or community groups, I would say. And like Center Latino, Center Women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then one of them is Center Bi, which is the bisexual community group. The meetup site, which we use, was started in 2012. That was, and that uses the term Center Bi meetup group. That was started in 2012. And then I joined it in 2013 in the summer. And then around the fall of 2013, I started organizing a monthly brunch for the group. And then at the end of the year, the original organizer stepped down, and then I stepped in to the role of group organizer for the Center Bi meetup site. And the way, what we do is we use the meetup group as our main organizing tool. So we recommend members to, or people who are interested to join the meetup site. The meetup site, one of the nice things about meetup.com is you can make the membership list confidential. So the only only people who see the membership list are members. So we use that as a central tool. And then, we're still associated with DC Center. So when you go to DC Center's website and you click on communities and click on Center By, the top thing you'll see is our meetup group address. So, so we've used the meetup group is kind of as DC Center's bisexual community. So I guess as leader of the meetup group, I kind of became leader of the bisexual community for DC Center.
Yeah, let me chime in a little bit. We also have a Facebook page. And you know, let me just tell you how I met Knox. At 2013 Celebrate Bisexuality Day, Abby, who was the leader of the group at that point, I talked to Abby over the years about like having a co-group, and you know that this was already started. And Abby introduced me to Knox at that event. So
This is
why it's important to do bisexual events, because it leads to groups and people working together and building
and connecting. And it's just nice to commune with people that, you know, like I always say, like you don't have to explain yourself to. It is, you know, it is nice to have a community.
And place where people can feel safe to be themselves, because in our group we've got members from all walks of life, from female college students to men who are retired and everything in between. So young professionals, all genders, and so it's kind of a nice eclectic mix. And the nice thing is you know, everyone gets along. And also, you know, you can feel comfortable who you are. And I mean, some of our members are not out to their families. Some are not out to their coworkers. Some of them, the only people they're out to are members of the group. And then others like me are completely out. Others are somewhere in between in the middle. So it gives people who may not be out to anyone else a chance to be somewhere where they can feel comfortable about who they are.
Talk
about it, not be afraid of how they're going to be judged and things like that. So I think it does help.
Very important. Very important. I use Meetup quite a bit, and I happen to see you guys' pamphlet, which is an excellent idea. Mm-hmm. And I assume you put that out at the Center, DC Center. Do you spread it around quite a bit, or?
Yeah, we try to. We'll try to take it. If there's big particular events, we'll take it. Last September, Bi Pride Awareness Week, when we had our big event that was put on by multiple groups, kind of pulled together, got and put that together. The D.C. Mayor's Office made a proclamation, made D.C., Washington, D.C., Bisexual Pride Awareness Day official. So we had obviously brochures there at that event. At the DC Center of Pride, we're going to be in the Pride Parade, and then we're also going to be there in the festival with DC Center. So we'll have brochures and things out there as well. So
that's awesome. It's a beautiful pamphlet. It takes a while to get that kind of money up though. For, you know, people that are just starting out, possibly flyers and business cards do help too, right?
Yeah, we've got business cards we put together, and remember one of our members who was interested in helping out, she's currently working on some new designs for our business cards, because we're getting low on business cards, so it's about time to print some more. But business cards are good. You can give those out, because, I mean, I always keep a few in my wallet, so if I'm out somewhere and talking to someone I think might be interested, I'll pull that out and hand it to them. In terms of like getting the word out, business cards, brochures, but also like with meetup.com, for instance, there's a lot of LGBT groups, whether it's the meetup or other groups, other organizations, but since there's not a lot of bisexual groups out there, is often there's bisexuals hidden in these gay and lesbian groups, you know, groups that are for, you know, that they may be for, you know, gay men who like to bicycle or hike or whatever it is. Often, since there's not a lot out there for bisexuals, there's bisexuals in those groups. So sometimes if you make contact with them, that can be a way of, you can sometimes post events if you want to get the word out. You can post, you know, contact these similar LGBT groups and say, hey, we're doing this. And then the bisexuals that are part of that other group may come over and check you out. Or if you just go to some other event, you want to hike or whatever, and you're talking to people, hey, you know, give them the card. So, yeah, it helps.
Yeah, that's great.
I will say in my travels, in the gay and trans communities, I'm always finding bisexuals within those communities and interested in giving cards out to, and sometimes they come.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, my question is, what would you say the basics you need to do to form and maintain local groups?
Yeah, for someone starting from scratch, you know, I would say one of the first things to do is look around to see if something's out there. Check your local LGBT community center. See if they have any bisexual groups or know of any bisexual groups or meetings for people who are bisexual. You can check meetup.com. That's another one you can check to see is there something out there. If you don't find anything and you need to start one up, then one is talking with the LGBT community center, see if they're interested in, because sometimes they will. Sometimes they're just waiting for somebody to come along and take the initiative, you know, and you might be able to work with them to get something started. Also, using meetup.com can be a great tool. Because with meetup.com, it gives you kind of a framework. And for people who don't know what meetup.com is, meetup.com is like an umbrella site. It's nationwide. And you can create your own individual meetup group about anything. It could be for people who are bisexual. It can be for real estate agents. It can be anything. So, and it gives you a framework. You can have members. You can control the privacy. In other words, you can make the membership list private so only the members know who our other members are. It's a good place where you can list events and you can email other members, things like that. So it gives you a framework to work with. So that meetup.com can be a great tool to create a group.
I was going to say that when you go to use meetup.com to look for groups, it's very easy. I just typed in bisexual, and I got a whole listing of different groups, you know, bisexual and queer. And it's, you know, queer. And they list the gay and lesbian, too. So if you know, like, if you're into hiking and there's nothing for you, you can, you know, you can go join that group. So, yeah, it's very, very user-friendly.
Oh, it is. It is. It's very user-friendly. And then you can – and what we did is then we've tied – our meetup group with DC Center, which is the LGBT community center. So we had talked with them. So we use the meetup group as our organizing tool. But then we post our name and everything on DC Center. So if you create your own meetup bisexual group, for example, you know, I would try to contact and talk with the local community center for LGBTs. That could be a way of getting the word out. Also, you can create a Facebook site, and that can be linked in. You can have your Facebook page linked into your meetup site. So that way you can use the Facebook page to post events, post news, ideas, whatever it is. And that can help you get the word out. Some people will create their own website from scratch. You know, if that's what you want to do, you can do that too. Some have done that. This day and age, I think with technology, it's easier than ever to create your own group and get the word out easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can use Tumblr, Twitter. There's all kinds of stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Things that may not cost you anything or have a minimal cost helps you get the word out. So, those are some of the recommendations I would think right offhand. Use social media to get the word out. In terms of ways of getting the word out, posting it with your community center, LGBT community center, social media, Facebook, those types of things, you can get the word out. Contacting other related LGBT groups and And you can tell them that you exist there. And if you create an event that you want to put the word out there, create, you can contact these other groups. You can, for big events, you can send them to contact local publications.
Ooh.
There are LGBT publications that sometimes they will post events on their calendar of events. And you can use that, post a particular event. So those are different ways you can get the word out.
Well, it occurs to me that you can't do everything by yourself. You do need to kind of cultivate a lot of very talented and dedicated people. So, you know, that does take a little bit of time, but that does help, I imagine.
Oh, it does. It can take some time. And, you know, and if someone started from scratch, you can start small and build it up from there. And you can do something kind of informal, just like creating a brunch or a dinner or something that everyone pays their own way. That way, you don't have to worry about having a budget for it. You know, you say, hey, I mean, come over, we'll meet over at such and such place, and we'll have dinner and chat. And then you can build from there.
Good advice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I will say, I'm going to underline and put in bold all caps for bisexuals, contact your local LGBT community center, because it is important for us to be there. In many cities, the first point of contact for LGBT people, including us bisexuals, is the local community center. And to have a bisexual presence at that local community center helps us bisexuals, and it's important and needed. And if somebody doesn't like bisexuals at that community center, bypass them, because you're going to find a lot of allies in those places.
Very good. Yeah. Very, very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where if you use meetup.com, for example, or some other way of creating a group, is try to make connections with the LGBT community center so that you can post your name and your events as much as you want at that LGBT community center. So that way, if someone's goes to that community center's webpage looking for a bisexual group, they'll find yours at the LGBT community center. As I say, that John's right. That's one of the first places people look if they're looking.
Yes, that's the first place I look too. Well, the second place, but pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once I found it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we already answered the question I have there, about the, you know, meetup and the other resources. So if you want to go ahead with the next question, John.
Yes. I know the answer, but this is for the audience. So what does Center Bi have planned for the next year? And you talked a little bit about it, talk about the kinds of events that we do.
Sure. Well, you know, so we've been growing. When I took over leadership, I think it was a little over 100 members on the meetup site. Now we have over 400 members on the meetup site. So, you know, as we're growing, and one of the things that helps when you're growing a group like this is find other people that are willing to show leadership. Because as you get bigger and do multiple events every month, you need multiple hosts, so to speak. I mean, if one person tries it at all, they'll burn themselves out. So you find multiple other people that are willing to host events. So like we do a roundtable discussion group every month now.
At the DC Center.
At the DC Center. That's every month. We try to do that third Tuesday of each month. You know, there's always a chance that it'll be another Tuesday depending on the schedule. But this year, I think they've pretty much got it as the third Tuesday. We do that every single month. That's our support event. That's all that is. Just people can talk about whatever they want and have good, interesting roundtable discussion. We also, we usually have some kind of happy hour every month, sometimes two. Like this month, I think there's two. although often our happy hours tend to be more like happy hours / dinners, to be honest, because the one we have in Arlington, Virginia every month, really, the host gets a table, and so you sit down and grab dinner and chat. So we do that. We often have some kind of non-happy hour social event, brunch or dinner or some other type of thing. We usually have something like that every month. So like this year, we usually have at least three things a month and sometimes more. We're going to be marching in the D.C. Pride Parade, and we'll also be at the D.C. Pride Festival, which is the next day. Since we are associated with D.C. Center, we're going to be marching with D.C. Center, but we're going to have our own distinct identity, our own banners, our own T-shirts, so that we'll stand out as bi, because I suspect we'll probably be the only bi group in the whole parade, probably. I think we were last year.
We want to make sure we stand out.
Yeah. Well, but it was a real success from what I can see. And one of our local leaders actually was the only bi group in our parade here, too. So I understand that. But, you know, that's why I encourage people, get out there in force. When, you know, you hear about a bi group marching in the parade, go join them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I think we had 9 or 10 who marched in our parade last year. And what we did is I coordinated with D.C. Center to make certain that our T-shirts were a different color from the rest of D.C. Center. So that we'd stand out. We're doing the same thing this year. Last year we had purple T-shirts and D.C. Center had red T-shirts. Or D.C. Center told me they're in D.C. Center T-shirts are going to be purple this year. So we're going to do pink with blue lettering.
Awesome.
So that we stand out. And of course, we have our own bisexual banners, and this year we had some flags and things like that. So we make sure we stand out and people see us. And of course, one of the banners has our meetup address and everything on there. And then, of course, in September, we'll put together some events for Bisexual Pride Awareness Week. So we turn it into a week. It's not just a day event. It's a week event for
right.
us. So we'll be doing things with that. And then we also do other miscellaneous things. We'll probably do one or two hikes this summer, you know, maybe a pool party. So, you know, we encourage members to say, hey, if you have ideas, contact one of the leaders and maybe we can put something, make something work, because we're there for the members. So we try to do a variety.
Well, good. Yeah, that's a good idea. So last question I have is, fundraising is always an issue. It is a necessary evil to keep going. Any helpful hints on that?
That can be a hard one. I mean, that's something we struggle with. you know, one thing, there are different tools out there, like GoFundMe, for example. We've set up a GoFundMe page, which can help. Special events.
Which, let me just say, I'll chime in.
Sure.
You can help. You listeners, please click that link that we're going to have provided on the site for our GoFundMe page.
Yep.
And just give whatever you can. Every penny helps. And, you know, we're all representing you in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
Exactly. Because it can be hard. I mean, because for things like GoFundMe to work well, people need to share it on their social media site.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
when a lot of bisexual people are in the closet or don't want everyone to know, or their families don't know, they're understandably cautious about sharing it. So there are challenges, but the more people that are comfortable sharing that GoFundMe page, the better, because the more people see it, the more chances people will help.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies to anything like the events or anything. If you're able to share, if you're safe, you know, do it as much as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. You know, for any of the LGBT groups and things, because we all need help.
We all do.
Yeah.
And we all know that our statistics, that we're among the poorest of the LGBT communities. So, you know, that $5, yes. The Pew study said that 30% of bi women who identify as bisexual and only 12% of bi men who identify as bisexual are out to most of the people in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we do this work. We want to get those numbers up, because those are all the social problems that associated and health problems associated with bisexuals have a lot to do with not being safe to come out. And that's why we do it.
Exactly. And also, getting people to understand more, because like from everything from health to mental health to dating, trying to increase the general population's awareness and understanding of who we are. Mm-hmm. And more people come out and have the courage to come out, then more change we can make, because it takes people to come out to educate people to realize, you know, we're decent, trustworthy human human beings as well, but people got to be out to make the changes.
Yeah, you have to be proud, out and proud, and, you know, so other people understand that they can be out and proud. It's just, you know, the way it is.
No, sure.
And as, you know, as Lonnie and Lorraine said, I just interviewed them, is repetition, repetition, repetition. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It helps. It does help, because I hear gay, lesbian, and trans people start saying the things that we have been saying over and over and over again. And it's always, it puts a smile on my face when I meet somebody and tell them I'm bisexual, and they tell me about all of the things that I've been telling people for decades.
Yeah. Well, you know, social media, you know, it used to be mailing lists. Now we can just jump on and spread it around right away. So it does help.
So yeah, I've licked enough stamps and envelopes in my day that I kind of refuse to do mailing stuffings. I tell people when they come up, I've done my share already.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Other fundraising ideas, and we're fundraising. Of course, GoFundMe pages, special events, and sometimes you might be able to coordinate those with the LGBT Community Center, like we did one of those last year, where DC Center can help put on a happy hour event for our group to raise money. So that's another thing that can happen. If a group gets big enough and established enough, sometimes grants, sometimes it'd be another thing. Or encouraging members sometimes, kind of pass the hat to encourage members to try to help and to pitch in a little bit. So there's different ways of doing it. It's challenging, but there's different ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm. All righty. So
we need money. That's the message from me for this.
Agreed. We do.
Okay, so here's my all links will be provided on the website, including our Facebook page, the Meetup site, and the GoFundMe page.
Good.
And that, you know, if you click one, please click the GoFundMe page.
Absolutely, yeah. If one, please GoFundMe. Because we need the funds, like with the Pride events and September's bisexual Pride events. Mm-hmm. Those right there. You know,
We need to print brochures, and we need money to print that lovely brochure Lynette was talking about.
Yep.
We need to reprint that, because we've given a lot away.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get more.
Print up the new cards that are being designed. Here's another one. Having access to the room for the roundtable discussion group. Because we try to do that at DC Center, so it's a private room. That way people can really feel free to discuss things in private. Mm-hmm. So things like that cost money. And
you know, even providing, you know, coffee and donuts if you do that or whatever, you know.
Right. But, yeah, like for some of the events in September that I'm sure we'll be doing, you know, refreshments and getting speakers and things like that cost money.
They do. Is there anything else you'd like to add today, Knox?
Let me see, I was thinking, hold on just a second.
I'll just say about Knox, I really appreciate all the work that he does for us here. And everybody appreciates how much work you put into our group. And making it like, it's a really, really wonderful thing to have a local bisexual group. And without it, even when we're out in the world, we hurt, you know, it helps me. It helps me in my daily travels within the LGBT worlds to be able to say, yes, we not only exist, but we have, here's our card.
Well, I think that what you guys are doing is a good template for a lot of people. And so that's valuable in itself. So, you know, I appreciate Knox.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think we've been growing it, because we've, you know, as I say, I mean, I've kind of felt like, you know, doing like 3 events a month on average, and sometimes a 4th each month throughout the year, I think's doing pretty well. So, you know, in different types of events, people can have access, because not everyone wants to do a happy hour so they can go to brunch. You know, we did zoo lights last December at the National Zoo, because they set up zoo lights at the National Zoo. So we did that. So
Gay Day at the Zoo.
Yeah, Gay Day at the Zoo. And so I say we'll probably do some hikes and different things. So, but you know, it does take, you know, you have to have, when you get big enough, multiple people get involved. So it helps, you know, usually, you know, you'll have like a central leader, but that leader also needs, you know, like with what they call it in meetup.com, event organizers. So hosts to do different things, like the happy hour in Arlington. One of our event organizers, that's her baby. She does that. She organizes it. She does it. She does it. That's her thing. And that's wonderful to have that, because that way I know that's always going to, she'll take care of it. She's going to do it every month. And so to spread that out so that it can continue, because what can happen with a lot of groups is they'll start out, one person's doing everything. If that person leaves, the group collapses. So in the long term, you need to make an infrastructure so that it'll be self-sustaining and get multiple people involved. Get multiple people involved so that you can do multiple things every month. Or if one person can't make it, someone else can fill in that month for that sort of thing. And what I would say in general would be is, you know, for anyone out there is, if you don't have a bisexual group in your areas, don't be afraid to start one up. Don't be afraid to do it yourself, because certainly you have to put some effort into it and you have to work at it. It's much easier to do than it would have been 15 or 20 years ago with technology and social media and meetup.com. It's not as hard as you might think. So don't be afraid to do it, because you can help a lot of people, including yourself.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to go into the local LGBT community center and demand that be part of the LGBT community center.
Exactly.
Because we need that. We need that. We need to be able to have resources available when that bisexual calls that local center that really needs help.
Mm-hmm.
We are the place. We are the people that will save us.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and so I agree entirely, is work, you know, is try to work with them, get involved with the local LGBT centers. And say, if you're creating your own meetup bisexual group, link up as much as you can with the local LGBT community center so that you help each other. And
yeah, it's a good pipeline, you know, because you know, a lot of people just don't have any idea where to go. And, you know, they call up the local centers, and if the local centers don't know either, that information doesn't get shared. So
exactly.
And I'll say that while, like, there's a huge LGBT community center in Los Angeles with a huge budget, most LGBT community centers are like our community center, which runs on a shoestring budget with a lot of voluntary work. And that's kind of how we do our work, too. So, you know, we share a lot with most community centers.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I just want to remind everybody, you are not wrong. Let me just say thank you, Knox, very much for coming on today. It was very useful.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for being our leader. You're a great leader.
I want to remind everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Get out there. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bicast crew.